Well, God willing, we're going to finish off the second epistle of John this evening. And if you'd open your Bibles there, we're going to the second epistle of John. And we're going to be picking it up in the seventh verse. But before we do that, I would like us to remember this sweet introduction of this second epistle that we were able to rejoice in last week. How John, so anointed by the Holy Spirit, he rejoiced for this elect, this sweet chosen and preferred lady and her children. And he had a heart that was truly overwhelmed. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He overwhelms your heart. I'm thankful to God. I believe that that is something that the Lord is showing in me in my life, and I'm observing more and more in the saints. And it is just the love of God, how we're becoming overwhelmed one for another as we're running well. It's sweet to see. I'm thankful to God that people are encouraged of what the Lord is doing in my life. And I'm thankful to God what the Lord is showing me that He's doing in your life. And it works that way. And that's the bridal run. And that's what's so precious is how God can encourage us. And I see the same encouragement in Brother John. And I don't want us to, you know, make no mistake about it. This is precious. The Holy Spirit is speaking here through John. But John was not offered the place of the bride of Christ. John is offered one of the seats of the 12 disciples that will be ruling over the 12 tribes. He's going to accept that place very willingly, as we read about in the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, just because that was not, in a sense, meant for him, God used him as a wondrous vessel to minister to us the divine love of God. And let me tell you something. This is a very high water mark in the Word of God. I believe all of it is. Obviously, Brother Paul in Ephesians and in Philippians and Colossians, oh my goodness. But at the same time, this is the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about men here. This is the very Word of God. And that's why we need to be attentive to it. And it is for us, and it is for us today. But his heart was so overwhelmed and rejoiced in the love of God that was in this woman and the love for the truth. And that what was so precious to John. And that's why he could come, and he was so willing to come to her and to give her this word. And later on we'll see that his desire really wasn't to just give her the Word of God or to rejoice in the Word of God with her through a letter, but he wanted to see her face to face. He wanted to look into her eyes. He wanted to see those dove's eyes as well as his own, and to be able to rejoice with these people that were truly running for God's best. But even though he's so overwhelmed, the Holy Spirit quickens John. And very soon here from this rejoicing state, we're going to read tonight how he warns her to never be complacent. Never be complacent. That the devil is out for one thing, and that's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And brothers and sisters, we can know the Word of God, so nothing really can take us unawares, because the Word of God prepares us for these things. The Bible tells us, think it not strange, that fiery trial that overtakes you. Now, sometimes I get to that precipice of, Lord, this does seem strange. But in faith, in the Word of God, He's already told us that these things would be so. He said that we would be even despairing of our life if we're going to go that way of Brother Paul in winning God's very best. It's going to be a fiery trial. And it has to be that way. And we have to be pressed out of measure. By the grace of God, we need to go into the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable even unto His very death. That is that way, and it is a narrow way. And few there are that find it, but God is such a faithful guide. If we have hearts and are willing, He'll show us that way. He'll lead us that way. And I'm so thankful that we're in His arms all along that way. So always remember that it's His enabling, it's His grace, and it is His love, the only way that we walk in it. But in our walk, brothers and sisters, as we go into this second part of the letter, may we always realize and know this. The first love can be squandered. Did you hear me? The first love can be squandered. This same John was encouraged of the Holy Spirit to write of that to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. He told them very clearly, I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. They had it. They did. But they left it. They ignored it. Those, if you think about them, they were awaiting the appearing and loving the appearing of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they left that place. God forbid we ever leave that place. Amen. Amen. We've come this far, brothers and sisters, and He is just about ready to come. But I'll tell you something. Their love grew cold. Somehow it became distracted, and they missed the offering of being in the Philadelphia church. They missed the offering of being spared from the tribulation. I'm talking in this type, in this day that we live in. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing worth missing that. There isn't. There's nothing to be distracted that would be great enough to ever remotely cause us or willingly to miss that. And brothers and sisters, I can't emphasize enough tonight the importance of it's how you finish. It's how you finish. We can be born and raised in this meeting. We could have been here now for 30 years, 50 years, 70 years. I don't care how many years. Are you ready at His appearing? It's a great responsibility. But this is a love that's beyond any love that there's ever been. And this is the love that God is requiring for those that truly will marry His Son. I have two sons. I've mentioned it before. If the Lord tarry, I want them to have wives that love them. Most importantly, that love the truth. And I do believe that if they have wives that really love the truth, they'll love my sons. And if my sons love the truth, they'll love their wives. But I do not want my sons to marry a woman that would not love them. I'm talking about absolutely, undoubtedly, unequivocally love them. Now, how much more the Father for His Son? This is God we're talking about. And this isn't something that's play acting as we read. It's not going to be a hypocritical love. And many Christians can have a hypocritical love. They can have a childlike love. They can have a teenage love. But this is the mature love that's going to be required for the hand of His Son. And as we get into this, I pray that God would have us meditate upon the gravity of the time that we live in to have this first love and have it permeating throughout our lives. So here we go in verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, we have been reading about these deceivers in this study, and this is very much the same warning throughout the Word of God. It's happened many times. Jesus Himself and the apostles give you just a few examples of this warning of these deceivers that will come. In the Sermon on the Mount, that was in Matthew 7:15, Christ Jesus warns of the false prophets, the ravening wolves. And the Mount on discourse on Mount Olive in Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking of the end times, and He says the false prophets will do great signs and wonders, deceiving the very elect. Brother Paul in Ephesians to those elders in Acts chapter 20, he said that there would be grievous wolves speaking perverse things. Paul also said to Timothy in the first epistle, in chapter 4, in the latter times, he said, some shall depart from the faith, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Peter, in 2 Peter, he said, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine and heap to themselves teachers, itching ears, turning from the truth to fables. We're without excuse. God has fully warned us what would be. And we're in that time. We're in that time where the enemy is doing anything he can to divert us from the truth, to divert God's people from truly going after the sincere milk of the Word of God. And that is going on. Whether it's through entertainment, whether it's through crowds, whether it's through popularity, whether it's through self-motivation, all of these different things, the devil will use anything. There's nothing new under the sun, but let me tell you something. Man is weak. Our flesh is very weak. But I pray to God that He's given me a willing spirit. And hallelujah, we can overcome through the grace of God. And I'm so thankful as John even begins to talk about these different false prophets. It's not anything new, brothers and sisters. These false prophets have gone out into the world. He tells us this in chapter 4. And they say the same things that they said back then. And I've told you how I've witnessed to people. I have a dear friend the Lord has had me witnessing truth to for a long time. And he still rejects Christ as his Savior. Oh, Jesus is a great man. He was a wonderful teacher. He was a great prophet. He said some wonderful things. A true peacemaker. But God in the flesh, no. He was the Son of God. He is the way. Well, I'm going to tell you something we've read so many times, whether it was in 1 John 2, 18 and 22, chapter 4, verse 3, or 2 John 7. That's Antichrist. And people that say those things and believe those things, brothers and sisters, they're Antichrist. They're against your Lord. They're against the truth. And God will deal with them, but as we're going to read in our study, God wants us to make a stand. And to withstand, and having done all to stand. And it's not just a testimony he's asking for here. He wants a chaste bride. He wants that chaste virgin to himself. This is someone who truly loves the Lord. All right, let's go on to verse 8. Look to yourselves, that ye lose not those things which ye have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now, this is the only place we're ever going to be able to look is to ourselves. You can't blame anybody. I've heard a lot of excuses of why I'm not going on with the Lord. Why I don't come to church here anymore. How somebody's defeated me. They said something to me. Something happened that I didn't like. Somebody didn't completely see it my way. They should have called. They should have sent flowers. I'm telling you, I've been a pastor a short amount of time, but I cannot tell you how many excuses. Now, I'm not being harsh, but let me tell you something. If you're not here because of the truth, you're here for the wrong reasons. You are. God help us, brothers and sisters. Now, we want to be vessels that are tender, kind-hearted, compassionate one to another. And I think we do have a meeting. And I'm not just here to stroke you or to pat you on the back. I'm just here to testify of the love of God. We have people that love the Lord. We have people that share the love of God. But you know what? We're humans. We are. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes we come up short. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you something, we meant good and God was leading in that. But you know what? God sovereignly put His hand down there that it didn't go through that way so that your brother or sister in Christ might have a little bit more grace for your life. And I'm so thankful to God in that. I can give a sweet testimony as of late that the Lord had led me. And it was so sweet how He had it said, prepared me. And there was a thing going on here in the meeting. And He wanted me to do this and this and this and this. And everything was set out there. And I knew the God, that was His mind and how it was to happen. But you know what? He didn't have it happen that way. And He didn't. And it really was a bomb that went off. And I thought, well, Lord, I meant it this way. I was going to do it this way. But this stepped in and changed that. Well, you know what? This stepped in and changed that. It was the love of God. Because I needed to trust the Lord more. Even though we had all of these wonderful time of prayer and fellowship together, me and the Lord, of how to do this. But God sovereignly stepped in there and said, no, son, I'm going to do it a different way. Are you still going to trust me? Are you still going to believe that I'm the perfect God and I'm going to do it right? Exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think? Huh? And I'm going to tell you something. You know what? By His grace, I sat still. I didn't try to make the excuse. I didn't try to change the thing. It was the sweetest thing. The Lord had me just sit back because I'm usually very hands-on. And I'm going to tell you that. I want to make sure. Oh, did I ruffle a feather? Did I do that? And you know what? God just had me sit. And I saw the mighty hand of God. And I'm telling you, it was just marvelous to me because the Lord took that situation and He made it better than it ever could be. And He did. And that is how He works. And it's amazing. So I want us to know that this is God that we're dealing with. And the only place, brothers and sisters, again, as we go back to this verse 8, that we can blame or look to when we step away from the house of God or from the truth is ourselves. The only one we can blame when we neglect so great salvation is ourselves, because we stand in Christ alone. You do. I'm so thankful that we seek the Lord together, but we walk with Him alone. And I'm so grateful to God that He leads us that way. But this word in this 8th verse where it says that we lose not, that word in the Greek means to kill or destroy. So don't let the work of the Lord in you be destroyed. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. I think most of you know this verse, but we'll read it together. And that's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The more earnest heed, brothers and sisters, lest at any time we should let them slip, or let them slip away, or slip away from them. And notice, we're the ones that slip away from them. They didn't move. Truth never moves. It's just right there. And that's your Jesus. If you find yourself away, it's because you moved away from God. You moved away from the things of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we do need to stand, because we are without excuse, and we're without excuse because of the grace of God. Did you hear me? You're without excuse because of the grace of God. And it is our reasonable service because of the love of God. And David in the Scriptures so sweetly reminds us, encourage yourself, encourage ourselves in the Lord. When we're looking, brothers and sisters, for outside encouragement, and I'm talking about outside of the work of grace in us, it's not going to last long. I can be encouraged about you for so long. You can thrill me in different things for so long, but it's got to happen in here. It has to be in me. And God put it in me. I'm His child. We have that, brothers and sisters. We have that wonderful working power of the love of God. And we need to settle down in the grace that He is building in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. Even Brother Paul, he told Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. Brother Paul didn't say, look at the gift that's in me. Look at it in all these brothers that might be around me or something like that. He said, stir up the gift that's in you. That meant a lot to me. I appreciate that. Paul never pointed to himself. He pointed to the Lord. He pointed to the Spirit. And as Brother Paul said, when he said, I've attained, I have finished, I've kept, I've won. But I appreciate the Holy Spirit in Paul. It wasn't just for Paul, but to all them also that love His appearing. That's the love. And that's the love that we need to have, brothers and sisters, one for another. Because that's the bridal love. And it's just there. But it needs to freely be there. And if it isn't, brothers and sisters, if there is a wall or a barrier or something of that that's causing our lives not to rejoice for our brother and sister in Christ, we need to be on our knees. God will bring you that victory. But realize it before the Lord. Be repentant before God. That's how it all starts, is to say, Lord, I've got a need. I've got a need. You've got to search my heart. This wickedness, I know. But I'm sure there's many others in there, God, you have got to deal with. But brothers and sisters, we need to be a tender people. We need to be repentant before the Lord. And I don't care how tender we are. I can think of myself today as, man, I'm about the tenderest guy in the world. Isn't that great? I better get on my knees and say, Lord, help me. I'm here drawing breath for one reason, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there is a lot more love that I'm confident that God wants to put in my life. And I'm so grateful to Him and that grace and that love and how it's working those victories in my life, of these things that have bound me for so long. The dark things, and I'm telling you, that have just kept me, really in bondage from truly being free. And every day He breaks me more free and more free and more free. But that's the truth. That's the line upon line. That's why we cannot neglect so great salvation. That's why, even though you've read through this word 100 times, forgetting those things which are behind. Is it real to me today? God help us that this wouldn't be rhetoric. God help us that we don't walk in here with chips on our shoulder saying, well, I'm here at Bible study, but I know all of the Word of God. As Brother Hill told me so many times, son, the more I get into it, the more I realize I don't know. And that's the truth. That's humility as you come to Him. Not just something we say. Lord, You teach me. But the only way the Lord's going to teach me is if I humble myself before Him. And say, God, do I believe that this is Your divine plan? Do You put up whom You will and down whom You will? Do You put in the place everything? And I'm telling you, He's doing it just for me. And He's doing it just for you too. You're pretty important. I'm thankful to God. He'll move mountains for you. He already has. I was listening to my brother. He was talking about his shop and how they have all this work and all these contracts and how the guy was thinking he wasn't going to give bonuses and all of these things. But yet he did give bonuses and he gave raises and he gave all these things. Brother, we bless the world. And we need to know that. And he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. I had a daddy that loved me a lot. And I'll guarantee you, if you touched me, you were in trouble. And I knew a couple people that did. He could have trusted the Lord a little bit more because he was going to take it in his own hands. And those people that were trying to touch me, he wanted to tear them apart. Now this is God the Father. And somebody thinks that they're going to mess with my dad? And I mean that. I mean that. So I know a hair on my head will not be touched if he doesn't allow it. I know he can put me in the fieriest furnace and I won't even smell like smoke. And it won't touch my clothes. And that Jesus is the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. And I've been rejoicing with my three brothers that were in there. And as they looked in there, there's a fourth in there. And he looks like the Son of Man. And it is. And it is. Oh, we're a blessed people. But brothers and sisters, what we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit. The children of the Lord are all His vessels. What makes the difference between us is what's in the vessel. Now, I kind of think of it like this. We're lamps. You got oil? Got a little oil? You're going to have a little flame. I want to be overflowing with oil. How about you? I want a fervent love. And it's got to be the Holy Spirit that brings it. And that's why our lives, a lot of times, we think we might be a little bit dry. And it's not that we're forcing things. But brothers and sisters, we need to be worshipers. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. A lot of people love to go to the Word of God, and they read the Word of God, and they read the Word of God, and they read the Word of God, and it's wonderful. But they miss the Spirit. And the Spirit is what brings you joy. The Spirit is what brings you that strength, the power of His might. The Spirit is what, by the grace of God, makes the truth and it makes it work effectually in your life and you rejoice in the Word of God. I guess what I'm getting at is we need to pray. And you need to pray in the Spirit. And a lot of times, I'm telling you, I've said it before, I don't even know what to pray for. Lord, I thank yous. I've exhausted them. I don't know what else to do. And praise be to God, the Holy Spirit steps in there and we have a real good time. And things start to get said that I don't even really know, but my spirit does. And as Brother Hill used to say, I squall like a baby. Amen. I just cry out to the Lord. Because that is that new man. That's inspired and anointed with that oil. And as I think of Brother David, it was just poured out all over him. As Aaron, it was just dripping from the beard. By the grace of God, let us be a people that is poured over with the oil. But in this, brothers and sisters, I think what he's pointing out here is that we can lose out. We can let go of the crown. We can. He said, hold it fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. So it must be an encouragement not to let it go. Because that's what's happened, is you've let something get in the way to take it. It says here in this 8th verse that there is a full reward for those who finish with joy. Think about how many times the Word of God tells us in so many ways that there is a good, acceptable, and a perfect will of God. Even in the Scriptures that we've been reading, that there are little children and then there's an elect lady. That there is a virtuous woman as opposed to many virgins. That one star does differ from another in glory. That there will be palm wavers in heaven. And then there will be those that are seated in the very midst of the throne. That there are children of God that are heirs. They're all heirs. But then there's the sons of God that are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That will also be glorified together with Him. A full reward. A full, complete reward. Praise be to God. And brothers and sisters, it is in the offering to us. But it is all going to be based upon how we finish. How we finish. And brothers and sisters, as the Word of God tells us, to finish with joy. Are you happy in Jesus tonight? I hope you're happy in Jesus tonight. Are you thankful to God of what you know in the Lord? Aren't you grateful to God? Aren't you thankful that truly the joy of the Lord is your strength? Aren't you thankful? Now, we're going to really get out there on the limb right now because that's where the fruit is, remember? Aren't you thankful that He weakens you in the way? Oh, no. I didn't hear a big amen. Aren't you thankful that when you're weak, then you're strong? Now, I mean that. Let's put it in the real perspective in the light of eternity, brothers and sisters. Is there anything greater than winning Him? Would you truly, definitely decide, Lord, I don't want to win your best because I don't want to go that way? If the Lord could set something before you and appear to you tonight and say, if you'll go this way, now you're going to have to do these things, or these things are going to have to be worked in your life to win my best. And He just sat here and He spoke to you and He said, these are the things that must be that you're going to have to allow. Do you think you'd take it? What do you think? Would you take it? He's already done that in His Word, brothers and sisters. It's no mystery. It must be this way. We must enter into the joint sufferings with Jesus Christ. I don't know what those are going to be, and you don't either. But it's going to be a way of suffering. It's going to happen. But Jesus Christ Himself lived that. And the beautiful thing was, is He knew what was going to happen. The epitome of it all is He was going to be crucified upon that cross. Now everybody usually stops there and they don't even think of really the beyond. And He became sin for you. He became sin. I'll never know that. Praise the Lord, I'll never know that. It doesn't touch me. I'm free from that. I'm clean. I'm free. But He became sin for me. And He willingly did it. He was obedient to death. But that superseded all of that is the joy in it. There was nothing more He looked forward to. Nothing more. He wanted to go that way. He came to earth. He was excited about it. I could imagine how excited He was to die for me. God help us to receive those sufferings. to say, Lord, I want that same joy, unspeakable and full of glory, because that's the glorified together that we're going to participate in. You and me, Jesus. You're giving me this opportunity. Now, brothers and sisters, in our human minds, in our human way, we will never get there. We will deny those sufferings. We will be afraid of those sufferings. We will be fearful, resentful, bitter, all of those things. But I'll tell you one thing, if we'll receive the very grace that He is, you'll overcome all of it. And you'll overcome all of it right into the midst of the throne. We've talked about that perfect path. We've talked about that tailor-made, the before-ordained good works that you should walk in. The problem is we always think of something good as something that's going to be pleasant. Right now, it's going to feel right. But this is God we're talking about, and He's told us very clearly. He says, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. Get that out of there, because it's not going to be that way. We're talking supernatural. We're talking about something that you could never even grasp in your mind. But by the Spirit, or my Spirit, I can take you right into it. And you can have a peace as we rejoice Sunday that passes all understanding. Notice, it's all understanding. Because you could never grasp it. I don't care how much you study. I don't care who you sat under. It has to be spiritually discerned. It has to be the Spirit that brings it to you. And then you'll be. Are you being? I know grammatically that ain't right. But it's accurate spiritually. Be. Be what He's given you. Praise the Lord. Well, that was a journey. All right. What chapter are we on? Well, let's go back to verse 9. Like I say, you talk about a ride. Just get on with Him, huh? All right. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, on the surface of this is very clear. We read this back in 1 John 5:12. It said there, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I love that verse. I think it's very direct. I think it's very clear. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing except death. And eternal death. And God help those that need to see the way. But I think examined a little bit deeper here, we can see a calling to Christians as the same calling that we had back in 1 John 2:6. In 1 John 2:6 it says, he that saith he abideth in Him. See, we say that we abide in Him. If we say we abide in Him, we ought Himself also to walk even as He walked. Christ in me, the hope of glory, walk. Yep. Amen. The joy, the peace, the rest, all of those things, brothers and sisters, He can bring to us. And that is what we should do, is we should be that new man and live that new man which we are. See, we're being offered here a full reward. It's a full joy. It's perfected love. The mature sons of God's effectual testimony. And this full reward, in the Greek, it means fully permeated. It's all over the place in there. I'm saturated in it. Praise God. I've got eyes before and behind. Full of eyes. It's everywhere. It's seen. It's complete. It's perfect. It's lacking nothing. And all I could think of was that sweet little Esther. As the king said to her, it's all yours. She's got it all. And she realized that. And praise be to God. I hope that we realize that. See, those that don't stand and withstand in the doctrine, they lose out. If I don't stand in the doctrine by the grace of God, I will lose out. I will miss His very best. Christ's bride is faithful. Did you hear me? Christ's bride is faithful. She keeps the faith just like Brother Paul. She is not a silly woman. She is not flirtatious with the things of the world. She is chaste to her husband. She is a church without spot or wrinkle. Let's read verses 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. She doesn't mess around with error. She doesn't. She doesn't tolerate it. She doesn't just sit there and let it go on. By the grace of God, either the Holy Spirit maketh intercession to say something and ready to give the answer, or she just removes herself. She doesn't try to appease. She doesn't live a life of trying to appease and play. It's good God, good devil, and good everybody. There's a stand. And I'm not trying to be offensive. But if we don't stand for this, and we've heard it many times, you'll fall for anything. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just as glory begats glory, sin begats sin. It's a slippery slope. Our nature is that way. Whether you read about those that start with cigarettes as young people, they are many, many more times likely to step into marijuana. Once you do marijuana, you are so many more times likely to do harder drugs. It's the same way with alcohol. It's the same way with anything, brothers and sisters. Oh, I can stop. Didn't you know that? Oh, I can stop anytime I want. Did you know that? I'm strong. Don't tell me. I know my limit. You don't. You don't know anything. And but for the grace of God, there go I. You may be a person that's never even touched anything before, whether it's been a cigarette or drink. But for the grace of God, there go I. Know it. Know that your flesh is capable of anything but for the grace of God. But also know that I'm not limited in anything in the grace of God. That's what's so beautiful. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. She loves as Christ Jesus loves. She withstands the fiery darts of Satan face to face. She's not afraid. She defends her husband just as he defends her. Do you stand in defense of the gospel? I pray you do. I pray you do. Oh my, it's a love match. Well, brothers and sisters, I have some news for you. Associations do matter. Did you hear me? Associations do matter. We're in a time in this world, and I'm telling you, in our media, in our highest offices and everything, where they say associations don't matter. Associations matter. And they matter greatly. And know it. And I don't care how much you love somebody or you think highly of somebody. Associations matter. And you know why associations matter? Because the Word of God tells me they matter. And this verse tells me they matter. And it doesn't matter just in our testimony, but we are not immune from smelling like the environment which we go into. You've heard the phrase, you play with fire enough, you get burned. Well, I'm just going to tell you something. You're around fire enough, you smell like smoke. You'll smell like it. You'll look like it. You'll act like it. He put us into this world, brothers and sisters, and we have to operate with sinners and saints alike. But those we dwell with have an effect on us. Did you hear me? Those you dwell with have an effect on you. They have an effect on me. And who we sup with and who we dwell with, that's the master whom we obey. We can show up at church every Sunday. We can even come Wednesdays. I don't know. But who you sup with and fellowship with and dwell with, I'll guarantee you, that's the master you're obeying. We're in a protected environment here. in a sense. Everybody's here to worship the Lord, I hope, by the grace of God. Now, once you step out of this place, whose master do you obey? This is what he's asking here. This is what he's getting at. And I'm going to tell you something here. The bridal heart wants fellowship with saints. It does. We love people. I've had a lot of friends in my life. And I'm thankful I have acquaintances and different things of that nature. But I don't spend time with people that don't love the Lord. I don't have time. And more so even, not just saints, but I'm talking about like precious faith saints. I'm talking about the much the more as we see that day approaching saints that want to see Jesus, that are ready, that are loving His appearing, that their whole life is, Lord, you talk to most Christians and it's, oh, I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I want to touch Him. I want to hold Him like John. I want to touch His face. Not just getting emotional and syrupy. I'm telling you the truth. I want to hold His face. I want to tell Him thank you. I want to tell Him I love Him. I want to look into those eyes. I don't want to look at anything else. I'm sure that there's going to be things in... As the Word of God tells me, streets of gold, crystal sea, and all that. I don't even know if I'll ever see that. I'm sure I will, but I mean that. I just want to see Him. That's it. And you can understand that. When you're truly in love with someone even naturally here, it didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter where you lived. You know, that's just this old world after we've been married so long. Oh, I guess we need a bigger house to be happy. Huh? Need to go on more vacations to fall in love again. Come on now. Now, there's nothing wrong with being romantic, guys. And I'm right there in the front of the line. We need to be. But it's not something that is forced or then it's wrong. It's because we love. And it's not that we're looking for something in return. You just do it because you love. You don't give to get. And with Christ Jesus, we've already got it all. And Lord, if I just give myself to You by the grace of God and just surrender, what a wonderful romantic fellowship we can have. It is amazing. Praise the Lord. But that's her heart. She wants to be around those saints that are loving His appearing. All right, verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. And I'll tell you, that's a precious little verse and it's packed with a lot of bridal type and shadow here. But as he's saying here, there's so much to say. There's so much to write. But you know what? I'm tired of writing. I got to be face to face with you. And see, that's the bridal heart. Hallelujah. It's just like there's so much in this Word of God. And yes, it's all of it's beyond words, but praise be to God, it's soon going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. I'm just so thrilled with that. At full joy, as it says here, like never before, looking into His blessed face. People, I think a lot of times don't realize as Christians, it's going to be a time when faith, we don't need faith. Because we're going to be in the presence of that faith. He is. It's just there. And praise be to God, it will never, ever leave me. There will be no fear, there will be no doubt, no sorrow, no pain, no crying. Absolute, perfect harmony. The exceeding riches of His grace. I'm going to need a glorified body even to hold it together to experience all of those things that are to come. And need I say, will it be worth it all? That's why I say these trials. It said the temporal suffering. That's not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Brother, that and sisters, that's our abounding in hope. That's the hope that we have. And it's not a hope like we hope it's going to come. It's just the hope that how soon is it going to come? That's it. We know that we know. Praise be to God. But this has the bridal love all over it. It's the evidence of her heart. And it's the evidence of John's heart. The yearning to get together. And the yearning to get together with those that have the bridal love. And I'm thankful to hear that in this meeting so many times that it's hard for people to leave. Mm-hmm. Have to pry you out of here sometimes after church. And that's okay. I do ask you to always be considerate of the ones that are locking up at the end. But praise the Lord that you love to be here. I think about how I had those two fellas come in from Fort Collins. I've known them for years when the Lord called me in the ministry, and they came down here about a year into it. And the first thing after the meeting, we went to lunch with them. And the first thing that they said, that they marveled. Those people didn't leave that place. And the one guy was saying that was in a Catholic church. He said, well, you know, the place I go, the priest is out of the building even before the people are, and then the people are out of there real quick too. I'm just saying it as it is. But he marveled that the people were so in love one with another that they wanted to stay in fellowship. And it was hard to leave. And praise the Lord. See, that's the testimony of the love of God. Because I know there's some Bronco fans in here too, so that's okay. We're still, my sons are praying for you. They think they've got some better teams. But you see, tonight I pray that we see maybe a little bit more as the, and it is just the faithfulness of God, how the bride loves the head and the body alike. The bride is going to be married to the head and that body. And even though we're part of that body, it's still that oneness. And that's why by grace, we need to dwell together now. And by the grace of God, we need to settle down in marriage now. And that's where I can preach that testimony to you, brothers and sisters, and we all can. We weren't just born with it. By the grace of God, we receive this and we grow in it. It's not that, okay, you just have it and that's it. No, it's going to be choose this day. Am I going to yield to it again? And by the grace of God, am I going to yield to it again? And it'll be right there. It's always there. It's freely there for us. But I know that there was a really monumental times in my life, and one very distinct one, when there was bitterness that I still held against a brother in the Lord. And that had to go. There could not be any of that bitterness if I was really going to win God's best. And He showed that to me. And He's going to challenge me. I know that. Let me tell you something. The enemy knows who I am. I'm preaching the Word of God. Sure. My sitting on the sidelines and everything, oh, He'll leave you alone. And I know you're thinking, oh, He will. It's not going to be worth it. You fight the good fight of faith. That's what you're fighting. You're fighting that spiritual wickedness. And He's the author of that spiritual wickedness. Okay? But that's the fight we've been called to. And it's a good fight. And it's the only good fight that there is. But that's how we know by the grace of God that we have the evidence of that bridal love, is we're settling down in this marriage. And I praise God that we can delight in it because His word is true. All right, let's finish up verse 13. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. And I'm so thankful here. There's not just one. Her sister resembles her too. I just think that's a precious thing. They're the same. There's an elect that's going on there. The love of God is the same. Vessels can look different. Vessels can act a little bit different too. They have different personalities. God doesn't create robots. Doesn't just stamp us out the exact same way. Those of you who'd been around here long enough to see like a Brother Hill, very unique vessel. One of the most unique ones I ever have ever seen. Very much a man, but an incredible man of God. So absolutely fallible in so many ways, but yet the love of God held him so perfectly. And I know finished him with the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now that's all of us too. We don't try to be like one another. We allow the Lord to work in us. And the beauty of the masterpiece that he makes in each one of us, it's in the making. We're going to be like him. That's the one thing. It's from glory to glory into his image. But I'm thankful to God that, you know what? It's a treasure and it's a privilege to see his beauty working in the different vessels. I am thankful to God for his disciples, but I'm also thankful to God for that centurion that he said, you know what? So great faith I haven't seen in all of Israel. That was a tough guy. I love that. He might not have been much like a John who was just going to put his head on his breast, shoot this guy saying, man, I love and trust you, Lord, but you know what? I'm not even worthy to come near you. I don't know, but God does. And he knows what great faith is. And I'm going to let him be the judge of that. How about you? But see, the bride of Christ, brothers and sisters, in Revelation 5:9, is from every kindred, tongue, and nation. And make no doubt about it, it's not a free-for-all to God. I'm not saying that at all. But I am going to tell you this, God's faithful. And if there is a heart that wants to receive God's best, he'll deliver it. He'll plant it. He'll make it flourish, and it'll blossom. And it doesn't matter where it is, as long as it's where God wants it to be. And that's why I say, I'm grateful to him that he isn't a respecter of person. Didn't have to happen here at Living Waters Tabernacle. He's given us a mighty place to worship him. And as the Lord in his word says, if we do have a place that is like this, that we can gather, and gather the much the more as we see that day approaching, and we neglect it, we're going against the word and the will of God. And we are. I'm not saying that for the place. I'm saying that for your benefit. It's the word of God. We need to have the desire to want to gather. And the much the more as Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming soon. And I'm so grateful he's been so faithful to me to have so many around me that truly are running the race and have run the race to win him. Could you imagine being like Brother Paul, as he said there, all in Asia has forsaken me, put you in a prison? But you know what? He was still writing the joy book of the Bible right there. So there again, he's faithful. And if there's a heart, he'll make the way. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.